Pickaxe.
If you like to eat stress-free and healthy, like me, you can do it this spring with Factor. They have delicious, ready-to-eat meals, everyone is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options, including popular ones such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or like me, vegan and veggie. There are more than 60 add-ons you can discover every week, such as breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. If you're looking for gourmet options, there are meals that have premium ingredients, such as filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini and asparagus. And they are no fuss, no mess. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and enjoy the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. This month, we're celebrating Earth Day. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head on over to factormeals.com/pickaxe50 and you can use code PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. That's PICKAXE50 at factormeals.com/PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is going. Check it out.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons & Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you around the table.
Hello, everyone. Before we start today's episode, we just want to quickly let you know about Tiny Teams Festival, which is this incredible festival that we're doing with Yogscast Games. You can check it out on yogscast.games. But basically, the idea is, Tom, any ideas? What is it?
Oh my God.
Has Tom now got to pitch what he thinks?
Tom's got to pitch.
Teams is a place where people who are tiny teams of game developers can submit their games so they can get some juicy exposure. Is that a good idea?
Juicy exposure. That is exactly the terminology we're using.
Exactly.
Chris, would you milk
the teat of Steam and get some free exposure. Marketing is one of the hardest things to do as a tiny team, so this is a great thing for us.
Great opportunity.
Me and James are both tiny teams. So,
we have core teams of two. So if you've got a core team of 1 to 3, you can in the festival.
Get fat off the teat of Steam.
Brunch Club and Glurp are both going to be on there. If you go and submit, you have 2 weeks from the recording of this. So if you submit your game to us, we'll take a look through it. There's a chance that you'll get your game played on stream. You'll be on the front page of the event. You might be on the front page of Steam. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But we're also going to have like some really, really cool games, really big games joining us to be discounted. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. It's going to be an incredible event. August 9th to 15th. You have 2 weeks from now, which is July, I don't know, fucking hell, like 27th of July or something is the cutoff point. Just submit it now. If the submission form is still on the website, just submit a game.
Yogscast.games.
And if you're not a game developer, screw it. Why not go there just to check out some cool ass games made by small teams? Tiny teams, if you will.
There's going to be loads of them. Tiny teams. Are you going to do a tagline, Tom? What's the tagline for it?
The tagline is, check out some games made by small teams. Tiny teams.
Wow. What a fucking tagline.
Amazing. Thanks. Enjoy the podcast with Simon Clark.
Bye.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Pitch Please, the podcast where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. For the first time in a little while, that's actually true.
Yes, it is true. That is true. Yeah. So last time you had some complaints about that intro, didn't you? You weren't a big fan. You were thinking of changing up. And
I just feel like it sounds a bit weird. Like, I don't know, like phony almost.
No, I like it. But it did make me question the validity of the statement. So I put together a big old document of every little individual piece of that intro. People who play games, I think that's correct. I mean, I picked up a controller yesterday. Yeah. I was playing a game 5 minutes before we started. So yeah, we are people that play games. People
that's true.
That make them. Chris, James, you make games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you okay?
Seemingly.
Are you okay, Tom?
I'm getting to it. Hang on. So yeah, that part's true. And we're pitching ideas. So every part of that statement is true. So I put together a big document that I sent forward to a load of people to clarify if that is in fact true. And I got this response. Dear Mr. Thunderclap, because I submitted it as Ace Thunderclap, obviously.
Oh, I see. Of course. Yeah.
After reviewing your slightly soggy, I don't know how that happened, documentation regarding the podcast Pitch Perfect. I'm sure I said Pitch Please, but whatever.
That's common.
We are happy to corroborate your findings. And it says corroborate, which is a long word that I don't know. So this is obviously true. Regards, Sigmund Freud.
Yeah.
There you go. Sigmund Freud got back to us.
And, right, and look, I can't argue with that. So
I put a lot of time putting together a document for that, and that leads us directly into our guest today.
Wow! Okay.
There you go. There's your intro. Enjoy.
Wow.
Wait. Hang on. Chris and James are here as well.
Everyone knows that.
Hello. Hi. I'm Brunch Club developer, and like our guest today, I also have a PhD. If you know what I mean.
He's lying. The person with the real PhD is Dr. Simon Clark, who's joining us today. Hello. Hello, Simon.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me. This is an experience already.
Sorry you had to sit through that.
What was that, Tom? That was a man having a mental breakdown. What was that?
How's lockdown? Is lockdown treating you all right? Like,
I was just, you know, I wanted to get into the mind of Simon Clark. And, you know, you've written tons of things, and you've got a PhD, which involves writing a ton of things. And I wanted to say that I understand what it's like to be a doctor.
I think what you successfully captured then was the aura of craziness that surrounded me when I was submitting the PhD. Like,
exactly.
It was like a spot. It was like a window into my brain.
Was it soggy as well? Soggy from the tears of having to write a PhD?
I literally have, right? So in my room, I have three post-it notes, which I call my PhD triptych, which is one that just says fuck over and over again. And this is also slightly moist and blurred because I'm pretty sure of some tears that were shed. There's another one that just says bored all over it. And then there's one that just says done, in very small writing in the middle.
Oh,
and
I've kept the feeling when you got the response from Sigmund Freud himself, though, just like I did. Yeah. It must have felt very, very good.
How do you think people get doctorates?
What do you think Sigmund Freud.
Sigmund Freud sends them a letter that says,
you're in.
Like
you're in. Here's your badge. Right? It's like a 500-meter swimming badge.
You're in the secret club.
You sew it onto your doctor's jacket.
It's more like the stone cutters. You get like a secret handshake and, you know.
Simon, could you just introduce yourself? Because we're not doing a very good job.
What? Dr. Simon Clark.
Hello.
Who are you?
Why
might we know you?
You might know me from videos that don't get very many views, such as the planets in Star Wars, which ones could really exist. I did a whole series about my PhD, like vlogging the experience of doing it.
I click that.
I've basically been a full-time YouTuber since I graduated. So doing mostly stuff about science, particularly stuff to do with climate, but also a bunch of other stuff, including some stuff with the Oxcast. Including probably the thing that most fans would know me from, like Yogs fans would know me, is I Wish It Could Be Festag Every Day, which was a music video I did.
What about the time that you made me eat Hatfilm sweat on crisps?
I was going to mention that one.
I did that as well.
They were good crisps, actually.
I did realize not too long ago that I'd actually, my girlfriend had been cooking, sorry, I should say, my fiance has been cooking with that pan for a while and didn't realize that that was the pan which would use to boil the sweat off.
Oh, yikes.
But it's probably fine. It's probably fine by now.
Yeah.
All right. So for the first time in a while, we've actually got a guest who isn't a developer, right? Which I think should be a bit more exciting. Like every time we get a guest, I shit on all the previous guests. Yeah. I don't mean to do that.
This what is the I best one yet. No pressure.
Wow.
when a dev pitches a game to us, usually I feel like they might be kind of constrained by like their experience, right? Their experience of how you can actually make games and what's possible. Yeah. We don't have that now because you've never made a game, right, Simon?
I mean, I've done a fair bit of programming.
It's published a game.
I have used game libraries before. I did a project where I did some like machine learning. I was trying to teach simple cars to go around a track by themselves. And I used some like Python libraries to do with that. But no, I've never published a game. So I have like a little bit of knowledge, which is a really dangerous thing. Like I know how coding works.
That's exactly what we need for this podcast.
Okay, so good.
Please give us your pitch.
Okay, so it's a very simple concept. It's
perfect.
PUBG meets Wacky Races.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it's a battle
cell damage
kart racer.
So this was inspired by it was a Hat Films stream that I watched where they did a PUBG Wacky Races type thing where they were doing a race around the island, and they've done it in GTA since. And I just love this idea of a squad-based racing game. So one of the things that I've loved playing over the past couple of years has been Guns of Icarus and also Blackquake, which is the same, just missing a dimension.
Could you describe those games or one of those games roughly?
So just to pick Guns of Icarus, that's where you are a squad on an airship and you are free to roam around within this vehicle, and your objective is to shoot other ships out of the sky. So you have a pilot, gunners, and engineers who are respectively going to be flying the ship, shooting the other ships, and also repairing damage that other ships do to you. So it's a shooter, but it's a team-based shooter, which I just find like a very, very interesting dynamic. And it's also, I think for the business side of me kicking out a little bit, is if you want to make a game that is good for streaming, you want your game to be popular, you want people to play it and to play it publicly.
Yeah,
so
sure.
This kind of game, like squad-based gaming, seems to suit streaming really well. And obviously, everyone is familiar with the IP of Wacky Races. I'm not actually planning on basing it on Wacky Races. That's just the nearest like cultural touchstone.
Why not?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, we could do an arrangement. Next, it's PUBG meets Catch the Pigeon.
Everyone's favorite.
So basically, it's like vehicle-on-vehicle combat, but that's only a part of it. Really, it's a race. So it's a racing game, but you are a squad in a vehicle, and the vehicles can be different sizes. So you could have a two-person vehicle, which would be like a motorbike with a sidecar, like the old Space Marine assault bikes, not the new Primaris ATV. Sorry, I'm a massive Warhammer nerd, and they just released the worst model in the history of the company, and it just bugs me out. It's still rattling around in my brain.
Keep it up at night.
Yeah, it's so bad. It's so stupid. Anyway, sorry, I won't go off on one. So like that, like a motorbike with a sidecar, or you could have like, if you had like a six-person vehicle, you could have like a Mad Max style big rig, and they'd have different advantages and disadvantages.
Oh, holy shit.
So you could have like,
that's got to be exciting.
You know, like, so they have different amounts of armor, different speed, different numbers of like hard points. You could choose the weapon that goes on it. So the bike, a driver and a gunner, and you get to choose what that gun is. But then if you're on like a big rig, you could have multiple weapon points. You could have like engineers running around inside trying to fix stuff. And I'm not sure if it should be that if you get destroyed, you are out of the race and you just queue again. If you get, there's like a cooldown period and then you get put back in. Because I worried that it would be too frustrating if you're in a tiny little bike and you just get like one tapped all the time.
Warzone does that great thing of being able to buy your squad mate back, right? Or like other ways of bringing your squad mate back once you're...
Yeah.
Like I feel like that is a nice expansion of what Battle Royale was up to that point, where it is frustrating if you die right in the beginning. You're like, well, I'm going to fucking sit here and watch my squad mates for 20 minutes and then they'll lose.
Yeah.
And then we're done.
But I quite like this idea that it would be a whole squad wipe or nothing. It's not like with Guns of Icarus, you don't have an individual health meter. It's the ship has armor and HP. You don't get that situation of just watching people, you know, loot your body and then, you know, run off into the distance.
I think if your car blows up, you are able to jump off and start running.
Can you jump onto other people's vehicles? Can you jump across and like pirate ship it?
In my brain, no, but I'd be open to the idea. I feel like, you know, but also...
As soon as you said... Sorry, go on.
No. I wasn't going to say anything interesting.
I just wanted, before we kind of delve too deep into it and sort of open it a bit, like the first thing that came to my head when you said the combat with vehicles was, do you remember Twisted Metal? Did anyone play that?
Oh, vaguely, yeah.
That was like a PlayStation game, I think. Twisted Metal. They made like Twisted Metal, and then there was Twisted Metal Black, I think. There was also a kind of a knockoff called Vigilante something. But it was basically just like, it was deathmatch, really. It wasn't a race, but it was, what made it interesting was it was kind of around the time of like Destruction Derby and those kind of games. Mm-hmm. But the vehicles themselves were like characters. They had like, they all had special abilities, and it was kind of like Mario Kart in that you had different, like you would have different like levels of strength, and like you could take so much damage and things, or you were quicker.
Yeah.
But the maps were kind of like crazy. Like there was one that was just in the middle of Paris, and you could get to the top of the Eiffel Tower and drive off. And you know, like, I think you could destroy the Eiffel Tower actually, if I remember right. Just a bunch of crazy stuff like that. And that was so much fun. Like you would just have like the crazy ice cream van man who was like the big beefy guy, but was super slow. And there was like a bunch of pickups and stuff. Is this anything like what you?
I think that's a lot of it. Although you do an interesting point with the maps. I had in my head that this would be like procedurally generated routes, so you don't learn what the map is. It's like you have like a Badlands map, and then you have like tiles that you get put in front of you successively. Right, that's different every time. Chris, question.
Hello.
Sorry,
so you're going to say something? We put our hand up because of the lag sometimes. so when you said car combat and you said Wacky Races, one, the game I used to play Wacky Races as a kid and I loved it. It immediately reminded me of a game called Cell Damage. So Cell Damage is, I've posted the link in the chat as well. So Cell Damage is a game where all the cars are the characters. So there's one car that has a giant fucking chainsaw that comes out and knocks everyone out. It's arena combat, but with cars.
And so that's deathmatch, right?
That's deathmatch, yeah. A few years ago, me and Alistair, we did a really like quick prototype of an arena car game, but where the cars, you had to have team comp. So you had a little ambulance, and that was the healer of the group. And then you had like a tank, which was an actual tank. And if they had abilities and they had ultimates as well. So the ambulance had a defib ability where it would do a radius thing and it would revive any dead cars in that area, but you'd have to charge it up. And like the tank had one where it would just shoot out loads of like missiles from it. And
so
like,
in that instance,
but it was all team comp.
There would be 100 cars in this race.
Like, it was a race. Individual. It was a huge arena.
But I mean, in terms of the Battle Royale race, which is what this is, if you've got individual classes us, right? Are the individual, if you're picking a character in a squad, you've got ambulance in a team of four different cars, then you've got 100 cars on this race, potentially. whereas Simon's one is, you're a crew of, you know, four on one car.
War rig, do you imagine? Like
For the big one, but I feel like it's kind of fun to have, like, I don't know if anyone's seen like the Race to Dakar, like you get on the same track, you will get people on motorbikes and cars and massive trucks racing all at the same time. And I feel like the idea that you have like bulk that you can throw around to, for example, try and crush a biker is just like a fun extra component to the game. So you could choose to be a bike with like a one, maybe even a one person team, but then you're super vulnerable to the biggest.
I really like that, actually, because one of my biggest problems with Battle Royale games is, you know, you've got your four-man squad, the three-man squad, duos, solo play. And you always have to have a team of X amount of people to play in those game modes. Whereas in this one, you've got, I want to play on the small bike, and you're essentially the solo player on this tiny little nippy vehicle that probably has like a very small gun on it. And then right next to you, there's a six-person squad on their truck, and they're trying to jump across to your bike to take you down and all of these different things.
Yeah.
so I really like the idea that you're against bigger teams that are on bigger vehicles but slower things or whatever.
A good thing to do with that is if you do have that mix of, I can be a solo player, jump into a squad. And obviously you can do that in COD. Or like Warzone or something, but you have a massive disadvantage. But in like something like that, you could, the way you design the map, if it wasn't procedural, you could do it if it was procedural, but it'd be a lot easier to make it bespoke, is you design the map to have advantages for the smaller vehicles that say the big vehicle can't get through like a little gap.
Yeah.
Do you have ways of
getting
out of the way, or there's like certain
just like in
access.
Mad Max.
Exactly. Yeah. So stuff like that where it's you need everything has an advantage and a disadvantage. It all comes down to not the fact that they have more people, but the fact that you can play the area better. And in regards to the race,
okay,
I was kind of thinking, because the problem with a race is obviously it's linear.
Yeah.
But what if there was an enclosing zone like a normal battle royale, but everyone within that had their own checkpoints to go to, and it's the meeting of when you're trying to get to where you want to go and they're trying to get to where they want to go, but then at the same time, as you come across each other, you could try and take each other out, so you're not going towards your checkpoint. So it is the first person to finish the race, but also you can interfere with people's races.
I see
what you're getting at, yeah.
Open worldy in a sense. You've got checkpoints across the map. Everyone is in the same area to try and get to 20 checkpoints.
But then
first.
Like, you could do it where... Far.
James, sorry, you're going to...
That's really interesting. When you mentioned PUBG, though, the first thing that I thought was the slowly encroaching space that you have to operate within. And I was like, does that actually make this more of like an endless runner type race? Like, do you imagine a lap, or do you imagine you're like Mad Maxing it through the desert, and behind you, I don't know, maybe the sand is collapsing away, or maybe there's like a cliff face, or there's an earthquake or something.
Ah, yeah.
And you're just trying to outrun it. So it's not even necessarily that you have to combat each other. It's just that you've got to try and last, but then you can obviously take each other out as well. It's more like, that's exactly what I was thinking. Is it more like Micro Machines and you just try
like an elimination race?
Yeah. And then you could have 100 races and it's just like, you just got to keep going, and then it's just carnage to begin with. And then you sort of filter down to try and...
Was that a pun?
Last... What was that?
Carnage.
Carnage.
Well, that's the name of the name of the game.
I think that is Carnage. That's like Carmageddon.
You can call it Carmageddon. Yeah.
Carmageddon. Yeah.
I do like the idea of the Mad Max aesthetic combined with that as well. You have like the George Miller massive sandstorm
just an open
coming behind you.
Planes. Yeah.
Did you ever play the game Fuel?
No. Oh, game, Fuel, yeah.
Fuel.
The open world racing game Fuel, where there, it was set in a world where basically I think the story is really stupid. It's like there's a finite amount of fuel left that's been extracted. They're not extracting anymore, so you might as well have fun. And like there's like, it's really stupid. There's giant thunderstorms that happen, giant like tornadoes that just appear. It's all open world. It was a really fun game at the time.
And the map was huge as well.
The map was huge. That was
I think that was an achievement to drive from one end to the other, and it took like 25 minutes or something to do.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page right now. It says the map was the size of Connecticut.
It was, oh my god,
what? 14,000 wow. square kilometers.
Yeah, it was huge.
Holy
but
shit.
Also,
it's Connecticut.
Hey,
that's the name.
We use our. they do use the. It's the apocalypse. It's very barren as a way to go. It's so big.
It's big.
I see.
It makes making the maps easy if it's just flat and there's maybe some bumps. You know,
there's a rock.
I mean, I had to
going back to the battle royale side of things. Like, what if it was like if you're using James's suggestion about like what all like the idea of like natural disasters or things happening? Like, what if instead of a circle, a constantly closing in circle, which is like the base, you know, the generic battle royale thing, if rather than that, you have these Mad Max style natural disasters, like a dust tornado or a storm or whatever, but then also an earthquake or the land falls away. But they're at random points inside this huge map. And those points change depending on every time you play the map.
So it's like, there was that one where it was a TV show. And also there was one, do you remember Radical Heights? The battle royale from Lawbreakers and Gears of War developer Cliff Bleszinski before his studio shut down. I think that's all we need to say about that game. It was a grid-based battle royale on the map, and zones shut off. So you could get caught in between zones.
You're still thinking this open worldy checkpointy thing, aren't you?
Well, that's what Alex just said.
Maybe that's
cut off bits of the map.
That just makes me think of Hot Wheels. You know, the like figure eight track where they crash in the middle. It's like that's, I'm getting great visions of that where you've got to all plow to the other side of the map and you just,
that's basically destruction derby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that could be great. Like, and then you could have different parts of the map that become inaccessible, but then you might like maybe through like you're a car, so you can jump over bits that have just fallen away. The ground's fallen away, but you can jump over it.
You can still fuck up.
And yeah.
I mean, I think the thing in my head that this is also inspired by is the pod racing from episode one, like that of sort of circuit. So I feel like you could actually combine like natural disasters in certain, if you wanted to do like a linear race and maybe combine it with that like racing the sun aspect of like the blue coming in behind you. You could easily add like, I don't know, there are, what are they called? Duskan Raiders now shooting at you from this side, or there's like a bit that's collapsed, or whatever it's going to be. Like that, I think that's the kind of energy that I wanted this to have. Like it's going to be fast, but it's also like combat between the vehicles.
Oh, so it's fast and furious. It has to be the objective.
Sorry,
it's fast and furious, is what you're saying.
Yes, that's a great name for it.
That's a great name.
The time.
Yeah,
okay. Franchisable. So you are imagining very much it being a race.
Well, that's like, one possibility.
By the end,
but
an objective to.
I quite like the idea of it because that's the other thing is you could do it as multiple stages. You could have like it, either do one map that you know you try and survive and it's the last vehicle standing, which I think is a great idea, or you could do it as it is a race and then you do multiple. You know, like stages to it. And perhaps between the stages, you can change up what you're doing with the vehicle. It gives you a chance to match what your opponents are doing kind of thing.
See, I think that'd be good. So you could go in with a car build, which is slower, but has more armor, which means you can take more hits. But I also think that doing damage and kills should factor into your time. So if you could blitz through it, not kill anyone, but then not win because the guy who came in second was slightly slower, but had two kills, which took like a chunk of time off or like did a multiplier based on that. Because it encourages actual play, not I'm going to just build the fastest car I can and go.
But at the same time, like you would have the fact that other vehicles are going to shoot you out if you just put all your points into speed, I guess.
Could you have points into traps so you get someone leave the vehicle? Like your team can leave the vehicle and set traps like in Rocky Racing.
That could be the person on the back, right? Because if you've got a big like rig, you can
have like a mine layer,
The problem is I think we've now got almost three different games here where Chris is saying like this open world checkpoint based game, which is cool. However, there could be a point of the game where you and the other final person are on the opposite end of the world and you're never going to interact with each other. Racing.
You enforce that by closing off the correct zones if you're doing it zone-based.
Yeah, you just make sure you never
you never separate. Like
That's more of a traditional, PUBG style closing the blue game, basically.
Yeah. I'm just not really sure why anyone would pick the slow, tanky vehicle if there's less interaction with players. I feel like everyone's going to pick like the motorbike, the one person motorbike, and just zip through the entire game.
Get hit by a truck as a motorbike, you're not going to survive. So you're very squishy. So it comes down to.
Well, that's what I mean. Like,
is speed enough to get away?
Why would anyone pick the truck? I mean,
I do kind of agree. I feel like if you're going to have that element of you want combat to be on an equal footing to racing. Yeah. In this, and so you'll naturally want to constrain the people. I do feel like it being linear basically is a more effective way of doing that. Whether that is a race or if it is
that makes sense,
you know, chasing the sun
like,
type thing.
Personally, I'm most excited about what James was saying with the it's like a desert storm going on behind you, sandstorm coming in behind you, and everyone is just it's an elimination race essentially, it's just a straight line. And or maybe there's a couple of curves and whatever. But
I imagine that, but with like the Phantom Menace pod racing track, and then that just gets consumed behind you by
There could be like
so sold on the pod racing, aren't you?
Yeah,
pod racing has got to be in there.
It's basically the only good thing apart from the music about episode one. Okay,
you could do the sand, but you could also do like an ice level so the ice caps are melting behind you and like put.
Always
away.
Shove climate change in there. That's perfect.
Yeah.
But also another idea I was having.
So I was going to say, but that doesn't solve the truck bike issue. You still have that issue in a linear race. In fact, it's more apparent because everyone's next to each other.
So this is kind of probably I don't think you should be able to destroy the cars. I think what damage is being done to you is like, if you're a truck with six people on it, if you get hit, it's the people on the truck that is dying out, and they have like, I don't know, 10 second respawn or whatever. So that's how you bring them back in. But obviously, if the driver of the vehicle gets killed, the truck's going to start slowing down, and then he's going to, the storm is going to start catching
or
up to
the
them.
Guy who has to spit the fuel into the
So is there like in Guns of Icarus, you know, there's stations, so there's a driver, okay, there's a fire back there, get back there, start the fire, like not start the fire, that would be the worst thing to do. put the fire out,
the vehicle on fire.
Or, but it'll also like faster, you need to throw like a thing at another vehicle who's nearby, so you need that guy to be doing that, but someone needs to be driving. So if someone takes out the driver, you're like, oh shit, so I need to run up to the driving seat, get in the thing, start driving.
Exactly.
He's gonna respawn. So it's kind of like,
because if you're in first place on a bike and then someone just snipes you from afar, that's it, you're just out of the game, right? That you're just dead. But if you're just knocked out and then you come back like 10 seconds later and you're like suddenly like in the midst of like 20 other drivers, you're like, oh shit, I actually lost.
Yeah. If you get sniped on a bike, you're the only person on that vehicle. Does your bike just continue?
Okay, now.
It's like a little cart or something.
Hear me out.
For 10 seconds.
You're tethered.
What if everyone is in their own bespoke truck, but everyone has a bike so they can get on it and go out and like...
It's like a little
scout assault unit, right?
It's like big yachts have like tiny little ribs, like tiny little dinghies that they can get into.
The big like super yachts, they have a little dinghy that comes out the side.
Of The Simpsons when Homer builds the bike for Bart and then he starts riding it and more pieces fall off, everyone starts in a truck, but then like two wheels fall off and now you're in a cart and then shoots it and now you're on a bike. And then you're just running.
What if everyone...
Yeah, you have to have an engineer who's like constantly fixing these bits to stop as they get shot off.
Bits of armor flying off, and maybe that smacks into a rider behind you. I mean, that would be great.
I suppose it would be similar to Guns of Icarus or something like Wreckfest. You could have damage being specific to components of the vehicle. And so, you know, you need to repair those things. And, you know, maybe if you take out a tire, that suddenly makes you much less effective as well. I don't know if that would actually add to the game or if that just adds complexity and not much to the experience.
Well, I think it adds to the team communication aspect of it. Like, hey, we need someone on to get over to the right wheel, fix it now. Okay, great. That's being handled. Where's Gary? Gary's out on the bike. He's causing some havoc over there. So like, if you want to find out some information, you send your little scout out. And if he gets blown up, a minute later, that bike respawns on the back. And you can go do it again and your player's back there.
I feel like we can learn some lessons here from Sea of Thieves. If everyone played Sea of Thieves, where that's just...
I suppose we could.
In terms of the combat, they...
Oh, Jesus, that combat.
Yeah, like the problem with Sea of Thieves with the combat was that you just... The first time you do it, it's incredible because all four of you, or however many you have on the ship, are like coordinating, and you like your ship can get destroyed, but you also respawn, and but after a couple of times, it turns into a real slog where you're just like, well, it's just going to be an endless battle between me and this other fucking ship, and we're just going to continue respawning, trying to find some way to cheese each other's boats to get destroyed, and that can get really frustrating. So I think Simon's point about maybe not making sure that the vehicles can't get destroyed could be a good way.
Well, they don't get destroyed. They just get hindered by the component that's been destroyed until you fix it. So like saying, say someone targets your engine, oh, hey, you lose 5% of your speed. Someone targets your wheels, you can't turn as quick. So you can't like dodge major like obstacles coming up. You have to do it before or, you know, there's certain impairments that you'll get depending on what it is.
But I feel like being
vehicle to vehicle combat, you could have, oh, I'm going to equip my truck this time with fucking Boadicea spikes, right?
Yeah.
But that could add, that could minus your top speed by about 1% because they're heavy or it interferes with your steering. So there's you need to have the balance between risk reward. I know, I think I mentioned that term every fucking episode because it's a really important thing to do is go, if this has an advantage, it needs to have a disadvantage, and there needs to be something that can counter that.
That's the thing.
Do you see there being collectibles in the race? So you could drive over and pick up an additional cannon or
armor plating or something, or is it like you start with what you start with and that's it?
Now, I think that encourages an extra question, which I kind of hadn't addressed, which is the style of the whole thing. Because I feel like if he wants to go down like a very stylized route, a la something, you know, you could make it 2D cartoony, almost like you could even do something like Super Hot, where it's like just super polygonal, then maybe that would work. I had to admit, I conceived it as being more PUBG style of kind of pseudo realistic, in which case you wouldn't want to have power ups. Because I feel
this
like.
This isn't going to be good for audio listeners, but can we just get a show of hands to everyone that completely imagined the Mad Max video game, but with just more people editing?
Yeah,
it?
Mad Max.
We're all on the same page.
It's not power ups, but when you basically wipe out a squad, and in this it's not wiping them out, it's just knocking them out for a time, you steal a component off their vehicle. Or I was imagining this earlier, if you have like a 6-person vehicle, this is like, I don't know, a garbage truck with just 10 people in the back or whatever, right? And they don't have any weapons or anything, but they just send out the crew. They just jump onto different vehicles to hinder them in some way. Like they just...
I love the idea of jumping onto different vehicles.
And you jump on, but it has to be super
unforgiving. Like if you miss the vehicle, you're just gone.
You just fucking die.
Well, you go back in like 20 seconds.
Talking about what Tom was saying, I think you need a grappling hook as one of the options as well.
Yeah.
So you can shoot and rip off a piece from the other vehicle.
But if you're grappled onto a vehicle, that vehicle in front can dictate a lot of your movement. So to shake you off, you could sharply turn right and swing that vehicle into like a rock or something, which then damages the vehicle.
Yeah.
But what my thing was when you mentioned pickups, I was thinking like maybe if your armor doesn't regenerate, but you drive over scrap and then you get scrap and then your crew like weld it on, right? So that increases the like armor plating around your engine. So you've welded something there. Therefore, your engine can take a couple more hits before it then starts to take damage.
I actually really like that.
I feel like that kind of depends on whether you want it to be like an elimination race or an actual race. Because I feel like if it's an elimination race, then maybe... I don't know. Actually, which one would it suit better? Because I feel like that's one of the problems that we're all like, oh, like we have like, again, like 3 or 4 different games on the go simultaneously. Like, if you're going to develop it further, you need to like decide. Is it not an endless runner anymore?
Yeah, elimination race. I feel like that works best because one of my big problems with racing games is if you're in first and you're 10 seconds in the lead, that's it. You're pretty much going to be that way. If you race consistently, you're just going to stay there and it's kind of boring. Like Mario Kart even falls for that as well, where all you do is pick up bananas and it's like, I'm still in first, and there's no satisfaction from being in first.
But can we introduce things in that way, in the same way that, like, you know, in Mario Kart, you have the blue shell or whatever. We have things like environmental things like the dust, like a dust tornado that passes by that you then might get hit by, or you have to dodge, which is going to inevitably slow you down.
Well, I think an easy implementation of that would be that you time natural disasters to a certain distance, like the amount of time for the first player to react to it. So the further back you are, the longer you have to adapt to whatever the new condition is.
Right.
Yeah. That could work.
That sounds good. Yeah. Chris.
Now, what if instead of that, we just force players... We punish players for going too far ahead.
But you do punish them with less time to react, right?
Well, like, what if there's a safety zone, right? So if you go too far ahead, there's lots of like lightning strikes and whatever, and then it's like
there's like a Goldilocks zone where
if you're in here, but you're close to everyone, so there's a lot of fighting going on, but you're safe from...
So you're racing in the eye of the storm.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And what a name for a game as well.
That's good.
Eye of the Storm. So also with what Chris was saying, where you pick up scrap, I feel like the first person in front, they can't pick up scrap because the scrap that people are picking up are from cars that are being damaged in front of them.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives you that handicap.
So if you do take damage from not being in the Goldilocks zone, just start turning right, and everyone's
just like this big unit of cars just starting to turn right into each other.
But yeah, like the person in the front, if he hits something or gets shot or whatever, scrap falls off of his cart and the person in front slowly starts to deteriorate because they can't pick up new scrap. The person
I feel like there should be some random
start getting
scrap,
better.
Because otherwise the trickle down... No, but the trickle down just stops eventually. Because if that car doesn't have the ability to gain armor, the rest won't.
I mean, visually...
Unless that's how the elimination stuff works. Unless that's how you want it to
work.
That's
the point. Like, the person in front can't regenerate, so eventually they will die out. It's kind of like a... You know, you have to figure out when you want to also be in first place, right?
Right, so it's like...
I really like that.
It's a strategy. It's like pitting in F1. You need to figure out when's the perfect time to pit. Because everyone's going to go past you, but then they're going to have to pit at one point so you can go past them.
It also ensures a mega scrap in the middle, right? Like, no one wants to get too far ahead. No one wants to get too far behind because they'll die.
I think there should be occasional, like, junk boxes that you can drive through. Because then everyone goes for them, right? Everyone will just go, oh, fuck. Or maybe, like, you know up ahead. Like, everyone has, like, a ping. You can't see it yet because it's outside the eye. But in 200 meters, there's a junk box. And everyone gets the same thing. Like, there might be like a few that spawn, but everyone gets the same pings, and you're like, "Well, I'm going for this," and then you're like, "Well, he's going for that as well." So I'm just we're gonna have to ram him or go for it.
Smaller bits as well, because if you're in this spinning tornado or something, you know, having bits of scrap flying in works conceptually and visually. So you could just catch it in the air. Or
the stuff that falls off the guy at the back moves around and then hits the guy in the front.
Maybe that's it.
It's like
Raft. It's redistributed.
You're just driving along and you see like one of your car doors just fly off and like whirl away in front of you.
There needs to be a cow as well.
The car door falls off. The driver is now exposed. So now he can get shot and he'll have
to
be
He doesn't know. Like, trying to keep the eyes on the road like, oh, Jesus.
It's very much Raft but with wheels.
I love the visual of seeing the way you see people being eliminated is by the cars spinning around in the tornado that's going on around you.
That someone's gone out. That's fucking... But okay, so what is the benefit of... If it's an endless runner, effectively, and your objective really is to just be the last one alive, right? And if you're trying to make sure everyone else is eliminated but you, what is the advantage to being in front? Is it just that you're safer?
Yeah, that's how I imagined it, at least. Like, you just have... equally, is that trade-off, again, if you wanted to have, like, introduce natural disasters by their time distance to them, you also have a greater time distance to the threat at the back.
Yeah.
So, if you're in the middle, you are probably safest. Like, just...
But you're also most likely to be attacked.
Being at the front means that if your entire squad gets knocked out for 5 seconds, that's 5 seconds your car drifts back, but it's still kind of safe. Yeah. So I feel like that's the benefit of being at the very front edge of this thing.
If that happens at the back, your car drifts into the eye and you're out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Sorry, out of the eye and then you're out. So it pays to be forward, but then if everyone's forward,
no one's forward.
Everyone's
the Incredibles problem.
It's the Incredibles. That quote comes in handy.
I feel like the mass of players fluctuates so much between... There's someone at the front, so everyone races to the front to stop this guy. And then all of a sudden, there's people drifting back because they're like, well, being behind everyone is way safer than being in front of everyone. So everyone then starts to drift backwards.
Yeah, you're also going to get people at the back.
There's a constant tide.
Being right at the back as beneficial as being right at the front?
But really risky. Like,
sometimes,
you can still shoot backwards.
There's already a meta emerging in this.
Exactly.
But also, I like this idea that it's not just, like, if it's not like just a flat plane, you also have like that's being broken down into like different paths through, like, if you imagine like a Mad Max kind of Utah-esque landscape, like weaving through parallel canyons. Yeah. Like, I really like this idea. The more we talk about it, there should be bits that
you go into a canyon that brings everyone together. So everyone's now in like a short formation and now like, everyone's like, if I shoot this guy in front of me, he's going to hit me, right? Yeah. So I'm going to have to just... Maybe this is the time where we all come together and repair our vehicles. And it spreads out again. You're like, oh, fuck.
I love the idea that you last see a vehicle and then it goes off on a path for like 20 seconds and it comes back and it is just shot to shit. And you're like, what happened to you?
Flapping bonnet with like bullet holes in it and all that.
And there's a guy with like just a frame, like, just like, he's just looking you out.
And hey, this is right make for one request. Skins.
One request.
Talking about skin. Actually, that skins wise.
Monetize this fucker.
One of these vehicles has to have a fridge door as the main passenger door. Like, you need to have such customization where stuff is just could even be randomized.
It's like the idea that just bits of scraps have been collected from all over the world.
That's 5,000 storm coins under yeah. shock, right?
Yeah, I think the customization is you have a certain budget on your vehicle. Like if you've picked a truck, you've got a 5,000 point budget and you're like, oh, a fridge door costs 200. I'll put that here.
Exactly.
But it also has a weight cost, but it has good armor because it can survive. It's one of the fridges from Indiana Jones, right? So it can survive a nuclear blast.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And well, you get, like, I love the idea that you could pay coins as well to put somebody on the bonnet of your car to blow stuff into your engine. Like, that's like an upgrade that you can have. But it's not replaceable.
That's like, not where I thought you were going. I thought you were like, I'm going to strap like a skeleton to the front bonnet to like to scare my competitors.
A doof warrior.
Yeah. Okay, to be clear, I think
we're
going to
go Reaver style.
I don't think we should have coins to pay for upgrades.
We've settled into this trap. This is the new celebrity endorsement. Putting gems and coins into selling.
Yeah. My exhaust is green. I paid £10 for that. Like, that's the kind of shit we want.
Okay.
Customization.
I mean, you could do the Rocket League system now. Actually, I suppose you could have like you collect blueprints, but then you have to like pay for a pass to unlock them or something. Sorry,
there's no visible upgrade. It's just what it looks like.
Would you say at this point we're not at the end yet, but we're kind of you know we've discussed it a decent amount now. What at this point could you give a recap of what you think the game is, or anyone who feels comfortable to what is this game currently?
Okay, so what we have is an Endless Runner type game in a Mad Max style setting where it is vehicle and vehicle combat. The vehicles are variable sized. So you get some small vehicles like bikes, some large vehicles like trucks. At the start of the race, you have a certain points budget that you can put into speed, armor, weight, all that kind of thing. And you get to choose the weaponry that you have. And over the course of the race, you have to stay out of the blue zone at the back of this sort of hurricane type, dust storm type thing. But equally, you don't want to go too far forwards because if you do, you don't see what's coming and the natural disasters that are appearing on the map. But you want to be the last person standing, which you can accomplish by staying in the right place or by taking out your opponents.
Yes, that's it. It's awesome as well, by the way.
Chris, your hand shot up with a huge on your face.
I had a great idea. It doesn't change the concept. It takes a concept that we already had and I think improves it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was talking about the bikes earlier. So everyone gets a truck no matter what, right? Everyone's in trucks.
Okay. What, are they?
They should be. This is my...
Hang on, this does change the idea.
Well, no, but like, everyone can still customize everything. Forget bikes for the time being as a vehicle type, right?
Okay, let's entertain. Let's entertain you.
Well, no, so the way it would work is in my thing is everyone's always in four, so you're always on a team of four.
What?
The bikes are the scrappers. So they're the guys that collect the scrap.
No.
So they have to pick the scrap up and bring it back. And then you have to send your little bike out to collect scrap.
I feel like the variable squad size is like that to me is like a crucial part of it, I think.
But how I do like that idea.
Repair,
but I think Simon's got a point.
But that doesn't work in a game like Guns of Icarus. The game is based around teamwork and fixing things. You don't have like if you're driving, you can't repair something. If you're on a bike, you're dead.
Well, okay, let's imagine this through then. So if you were to play Eye of the Storm, you jump in, you're like, okay, my friends are out at the moment. I'm going to play on my own. I'm going to jump in solo. You jump into a race. You're a little bike. Everyone else is trios and quads or whatever.
There's some other
How
solos.
Does
in
this
there?
Play out? Yeah, yeah, maybe a couple of solos.
I mean, that's the thing. The bike.
How is this going to play out?
The bike is probably weaker. Probably doesn't have as good guns. Shot.
Apes together strong.
You fall back, but you're super quick. You are way quicker than all the others.
You could have like just front mounted
Uzi
guns, like the Space Marine normal
rider
bikes. Yeah, the kind of thing.
Like the bikers in Mad Max. They can jump super far and they've got grenades.
Yeah, you could also have throwable items actually.
But, they're on a bike driven by someone else.
No,
that's true.
Then they jump off their bike and their bike gets destroyed.
No, this is like the bike. The benefit of the bike is it's way quicker. It's got
I understand but mechanically it doesn't work with the rest of the game.
It does. It totally does.
It doesn't.
All the disasters that come up, you're able to navigate them much quicker. You're able to whip through.
Not that again. Navigation, fine. I understand how bikes work.
But
I'm talking in terms of repair, armor. You can't send people to different components.
You take one hand off a handlebar and you just drill it back in, and that's the end of it.
Maybe you've got an R2-D2 kind of janky kind of like robot that's out the back fixing it. But that's kind of not in keeping with the style. But like, the whole point is that you're on your own and weaker, right? Maybe you can't ever repair. Maybe that's just part of it.
But, or you just have one hit point scale and you just like can dedicate yourself to keep going in the direction you're going and just like lean around and smack your bike with a spanner, and that's how you repair yourself, because then you have to take your eye off the road.
Just hitting the bike with a hammer whilst trying to dodge you would lose
the ability to steer and be fast.
Well, yeah, but that's the trade-off.
You'd have to have a penalty down a bit. Yeah,
you're super quick at being able to repair, but it is like
okay. So what does a two-player one look like?
That's a car.
Is that like a Robin Reliant? And then,
or you could have like a normal like sedan style car with like a pintle mounted weapon on the back, like a pickup truck.
It's a Volvo with a 50 cal coming out the
roof. That's brilliant. Yeah, exactly. I love that.
Can you tell I play Warhammer? This is
the problem with that is that that becomes kind of boring for the other player. Like the four player experience, you have room to run around like you would in, Guns of Icarus, right? It's the going down into other levels. That's why I'm talking like big rigs, like big trucks, where you have room to run slightly. Even if it's a short distance, you have to. It's that manic running to where you need to be that makes Guns of Icarus and a game like Sea of Thieves more enjoyable than just shoot, shoot, shoot. I need to get off this gun, run over there, do that thing for five seconds, back to the gun. Start doing it again.
Is there a way that we can, because this is something I've been wanting to bring up, talking about the players specifically, something we haven't talked about yet is, because another one of the frustrations I have in Sea of Thieves, I'm not sure if this is the same in Guns of Icarus, I haven't played it, but there are no classes. Everyone is the same. And that becomes, again, quite frustrating, quite boring, very quickly, because I feel like there's no variation. Like, how did you imagine this originally, Simon? Would you imagine people having like, is it like, like Team Fortress or like, because people have different abilities?
Because in Guns of Icarus, you have pilot, engineer, gunner. So, and they're all the same, but they have different equipment slots. So the gunner can take different kinds of ammunition, whereas the pilot can take multiple piloting aids type thing. So perhaps you could have that similar division of driver, gunner, engineer, and maybe you do need different tools. I had imagined that there would be different classes, but I hadn't really fleshed out how that would work, I have to admit.
I think if you assign people to roles and you're playing on a three-person team, for example, and you're playing with someone who two people want to be the driver, it's kind of, I feel like everyone should be able to do anything. Because
they can in Guns of Icarus, right, though, but it's just slower for them to do that
they
thing.
They can. Or they have a... But they also have to specialize in the thing they don't really want to specialize in. I've played Guns of Icarus where I'm like, I don't want to be the engineer. And I had to be because everyone else, you know, was gunner or pilot or whatever. And I could have enjoyed the game a lot more if I was playing the class I want to be. I think everyone should be able to do everything. If the driver is knocked out, someone else can jump in and take over the driver's seat.
I do like the idea that they could be ragdoll effects on these characters as well. Like the driver gets knocked out, flies to the back of the truck, and you're like, okay, you've got to run up to the front. Someone else has got to run.
You're knocked out back here.
Or they just slump in their seat. They slump in their seat, and then when you go up to replace them, you have to like kick them out of the door. You have to see their limp body fly out.
Fly back.
Fuck. That sounds fantastic.
In terms of, so my idea for classes wasn't to do with people having individual skills. It was kind of like in COD, where you have loadouts, but the loadouts is for your vehicles. So when I was mentioning like Bodicea spikes earlier, that's a loadout you choose at the start. So you can have an aggressive truck loadout or a defensive truck loadout or like a more, you know, balanced truck loadout. You have a different back. So maybe you've got like an open truck bed at the back. So your guys are more open, but it also gives them greater room to shoot. If you've got a really defensive one, it's enclosed. They've got small slots to shoot out of, but it means you can take more hits before, you know, a thing starts to, that, but also slower. It wasn't to do with the people could do whatever they want.
Yeah.
It's still about communication and rotation of like roles, but this is why everyone should have the same sort of truck, and it's how you build it is different. Everything, and you can choose, say, oh, that last round we played a heavy loadout and we weren't that very like good at it, so let's try for a more scout quick loadout. It's the it's the trial and error and coming up with a good composition that makes it sort of better. But if you're playing solo, I would say you queue. If you're playing a solo player, you end up with either like a people, you queue as a like a driver, as in you queue with your truck, and then you have people who just want to join a game and don't care, they don't want to use their truck, so they just jump into yours. If that makes sense. So you queue differently.
Yeah, I think you can queue based on the vehicle. James?
I was just thinking about the needing to swap players around. So if someone wants to be the driver, but someone else doesn't get a chance, I wonder if there's a way that we can force that to happen. So maybe the bigger, heavier trucks, you've got a fatigue meter or something. So driving actually takes energy from you.
Shove a meter in.
You love a meter. So, you know, you can drive well and then you start slowing down as your meter decreases. So it's like, all right, I need someone else to take over. Everything else is fine, but...
What if, like, you just have it's kind of like a fatigue meter, but it was basically just to do with the fact that as you're driving, you're exposed to something, as in, like, it could be, like, a radiation from the...
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Thing. So you have to then get off... Go back and like wait for your cooldown to, and then someone else rotates.
You're forced to rotate.
The driver's seat is constantly the one that's at the very highest point of the truck, so everyone can just shoot at that. So if you're in the driver's seat, you're more likely to die.
Right. Yeah.
Or if you get your window shot out, maybe it doesn't come in straight away.
Slowly vignettes in until like you just can't see what's going on because you're just being inundated by like. Solar radiation because
maybe that's the sandstorm, isn't it? Maybe
the sandstorm is the only thing.
But then, how would you implement that for single player people? If you're on a bike, then
that's why my idea doesn't have bikes. That's why.
I mean,
that's why they only go out to collect scrap and they come back, and then you can send someone else out because again, going outside of this thing creates.
Actually, yeah, but if you just give people on exposed bikes helmets, then I suppose that. Just makes sense. Like maybe there's only there's one per vehicle and that's it.
I think that's the one thing where like I feel like if you're in a truck, then the need with more people, the need to swap is more important or a lot quicker for you guys. The people on the bike, they obviously can't swap, so they never need to swap. But I think once you give everyone the same vehicle and the same loadout options, you're very quickly going to get to a point where everybody has the same loadout because, someone's found out the Boadicea spikes, they're really powerful. If you
pick the current meta, right?
COD does that.
Yeah. Like, if you give them a crate of grenades, everyone picks that.
Like, everyone's going, the MP7 on the ground. So you patch something that can counter that, or that's going to happen in any game. It happens in every game.
I guess it's a constant changing process, isn't it? Yeah.
This is the perfect loadout.
But if you have multiple kinds of vehicles,
everyone chooses bikes. Because
if you have multiple kinds of vehicles, then I feel like that it will happen. But it's like an extra dimension to it's going to converge to a particular solution much slower than it would if everyone had the same.
I'm not saying that multiple types of vehicles is a bad idea, but I'm saying the multiple types of vehicles, depending on what those vehicles are, change the gameplay too much away from that Guns of Icarus style. Everyone needs to do their job and rotate stuff out. Oh, that's on fire. Go do that. You can't do that in a car. Like, you can't do that in a, like, sedan because the seat switching is just, all right, yeah. Like, you can't run somewhere in a sedan.
But that's the point. Is
the initial pitch was Guns of Icarus style.
Well, that's inspired. Bikes, that's just like the team-based combat aspect of it. Like,
jeez. 50
I
minutes
must say,
ago, Chris.
I always imagined the switching to be a bit like Double Dash. Like, I didn't necessarily think it would take a long time.
I think if you're on a small vehicle, but I think if you're on like a big rig, then I do quite like the idea that you actually have to. There is like
run
a travel
around,
time.
To climb over the top of it and get into the.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the booth and stuff. That could. Okay. I think we're at a point now, like, it almost feels like we're talking to the game about a game that already exists because it feels so, like, so great, to be honest. But
it's really cool.
That sounded insincere, but like, genuinely, I don't think we're going to solve the problem of should there be bikes or not. So I think this is probably a good point.
We just got the bike purist Chris over here. I was never
against bikes. I was against their initial implementation. I agree with bikes as like a scout unit.
All right, Martin Luther, like it's fine.
All right, So, okay, now is probably a good time to go around and see how everyone's feeling. Tom, what do you reckon?
I think this game is incredible. I genuinely think that the Eye of the Storm visual, just, oh my God, just the intense nature from very start of the race to the end of the race, where the Eye of the Storm is going, it's lightning, there's kick-ass music
never
going on.
And it accumulates more and more parts as well, like of the destroyed
vehicles. The storm gets thicker and thicker as time goes on with just scrap and other vehicles. And also, going directly against what stupid Chris said, the ability to play the game.
I'm livid.
The ability to play the game at any point with any team size, and it determines what vehicle you get, is so important for a Battle Royale game, because there's so many times where I'm like, oh, should we play Warzone? Can't, there's only two of us. I mean, I know they've got duos now and whatever, but at the time when it first came out, you couldn't. Yeah. And that was just like, well, I guess we're not playing this game then, because unless we want to join with some randomer who's going to get really racist and quit. But, but yeah, I think visually it's awesome. I think there is a certain balance between being in first place, you drop a load of scrap, people behind can pick up more scrap so they can catch up. It just sounds so cool. I want it. I need it.
The first, like, when I saw Mad Max in the cinema, the first like 20 minutes of that, which is basically just an action sequence, maybe even 30 minutes.
I think it's the whole film. I remember watching, that's a funny way of saying the entire film.
But there's a moment where, like, you know, they go through the big dust storm sequence, and then it cuts to black, or it fades to black on a little flare. Yeah. And then I felt like that was the first time. So there was someone sitting in front of me. The entire audience was silent, but there was one guy in front of me, and he just went, as if like he had just breathed.
Yeah. He had just finished. That way as well.
And like the idea of a game that makes you feel like that is just, it's so exciting.
It's just constant action.
James.
I mean, yeah, I want it. I need it. I want to make it. I want to play it. I love the thought that, okay, so you might have these big trucks, and okay, if I want bikes as well, because I feel like you might actually end up with some sort of strange
social
dynamics where all the single players who don't know each other sort of might help each other initially take down a big truck, and then they'll disperse.
Exactly. That's
like
a great point.
I want it, need it, love it.
Holy shit, Chris.
Okay, again,
just say
bikes.
No, Chris.
Just not. No, I really enjoyed the
just
game.
Tell us what you think.
I really enjoyed the game. Sorry, I'll let you know. I really enjoyed it. Hence why I was throwing so many ideas at it. I really did enjoy the concept. And I just think that I'm all for different vehicles, but I think you need to nail down how the gameplay mechanics will change based on size of the vehicles. Not
100%
necessarily.
Agree.
Not necessarily just.
Yes.
If you're running around on one truck, no one's going to pick that because it takes longer to do stuff. You need to balance vehicles, and you need to figure out how. They could be huge vehicles, and then trucks maybe the smallest vehicle. Like, you could do big, like, behemoth vehicles.
Like sand crawlers, like Jawa style.
Yeah, like, things that are just mashed together like monster trucks into this massive thing.
Okay, but
well, as a counterpoint, as a counterpoint, yeah, sorry, Chris, shut up, I hate you.
Okay.
Okay, look, distilling it down, Chris. Would play? Oh. Question mark.
Would make if we made those changes? Would play if we made those changes?
I wouldn't play.
I love that this is the first time in ages
this is a hill I'm going to die on.
Chris has brought
right?
in
this
a is... legitimate like discussion about game development, and we've just
I try my best to do this every time.
I appreciate that's why you're here, Chris.
I completely agree, Chris, with what you were saying about having to balance the different vehicle types.
And we can end it there.
That is the most fundamental thing. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to Google how to learn Unity. Hang on.
I think. Oh my God. This is by far like the most passionate discussion I think we've had about a game.
So
we've all
cool.
got excited about. So holy shit, Simon! Thank you very much for that. That was a wonderful idea that has generated a lot of excitement that we all now want to go and make it.
I want 10%. Otherwise, go nuts. No, thank you very much for having me. I never get to talk to people about games because normally I'm just sat on my own editing or like doing my live streams. So to actually get to have a conversation about this stuff is really, really fun.
It's been so much fun. Well, if you have any other ideas that are on par with this one,
please.
Then you are always welcome to come back because that was so good.
I've been trying to think of a pun for the last like 40 minutes because I mean I normally end up trying to think of a pun.
Right?
I just thought was a good name. It's not a pun, though.
It's not a pun.
James came up with the
pun. I've been sitting in there just rattling off car names trying to hook.
You've got Carnage.
Mercedes.
Carnage is a pun, right?
You need to think about this as a podcast name, right? If someone sees Pitch Please with Dr. Simon Clark, Eye of the Storm, they're going to think like, oh, it's a nerd game.
No, here he comes. here comes Climate Boy.
Captain Meteorology.
It's Warhammer.
Carmageddon's got a certain je ne sais quoi to it. I like that.
That already exists.
Like. Sure. It already exists.
Does it? Already exists?
Yeah. This is going to be called Carnage unless after I...
No, Eye of the Storm was
fine. We stop recording. Okay. Carnage, Eye of the Storm.
Carnage.
Yes.
What about Carmulonimbus?
Carmulonimbus. All right, sure. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Simon, thank you so much for joining us. Me, Tom, James, and Chris will join you again next week. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Yeah, fuck you, Chris.
I was never against bikes.